Morning. Please open the scriptures to Luke chapter 18. And if you're using the Pew Bible, it's page 1097. 1097. I ask you to stand to alert our minds to receive the Word of God, but also to acknowledge that we are standing before the spoken Word of the living God. Luke chapter 18, and we're reading from verse 18 and following. As we consider the question, who qualifies to live forever? Profound question. Let's see what the Scripture has to say. Verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." The Word of God. Please be seated. Thanks be to God that we have a response to the question, who qualifies for eternal life? As we consider this question this morning, I know that many of you realize that my brother passed away earlier this year, and some of you know the question that I had asked him when he found out that he was going to be on pain management, which is not a good thing for your doctor or your nurse to tell you. It basically means that you don't have much time left. We're going to try to make you as comfortable as possible. And when I found out my brother was on pain management, I asked him the question, "Steve, do you know if you were to die today that you would go to heaven?" And he responds, "Nobody can know that." Fortunately, before he left this world, he knew where he was going and was ready. What are the qualifications to live forever? Who qualifies for life everlasting? That's really what this text is all about. So we're looking through the Gospel of Luke. This is the question we are to consider this morning. And Jesus essentially gives four answers to it, which really they all boil down to one. But who qualifies for life everlasting? The first response is the good. The person who is good qualifies. you don't believe me, look in the text. Verse 18, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 20, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. In Luke 18, on a similar occasion that Jesus was asked the same kind of question. And Jesus said, what's written in the law? How do you read it? And the man responds, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says quite clearly, do this and you'll live. Be good at keeping the commandments and you'll live. Sports broadcaster Chip Ramsey, in early August, I guess it was, or a little while back, after the Orioles' new manager, Dave Tremblay, was given the position as manager, he was doing pretty good starting out the gate. And this broadcaster, he said he's hoping that next year the Orioles will give Tremblay the permanent job as the new manager. And to quote Ramsey, he says, Dave Tremblay has done a nice job with the Orioles. Hopefully he'll get to keep the gig, that's the job, after this year as well. It's nice to see good people get rewarded for a job well done. That's the way the broadcaster felt and feels. Good people deserve to be rewarded. Well, when I grew up, Saturday morning was great. We liked it. I remember the first TV we ever got. And on Saturday mornings, we used to watch cartoons. I don't know how you wasted your Saturday mornings when you were a kid. But we were tired of going to school, so we just sat in front of the tube. And we watched Bugs Bunny, Woody Woodpecker, and Roadrunner and Coyote. You know, all those guys, Tom and Jerry, whatever we could find. And, you know, one of the fascinating things I found about the cartoons, and particularly, for example, the dynamic between Coyote and Roadrunner. You know, if anybody doesn't know what Roadrunner is, it's a bird, and he's fast. He goes, meep, meep. And that quick, he's covered like 2 miles. And so this coyote's trying to catch this bird. I assume he's going to eat him if he ever gets him. And he's still trying to get him, by the way. It's like 50 years later. And so he's setting up all these traps. And it might be, for example, he's going to set a trap so the bird runs after him and falls off the cliff. Well, of course, you know who falls off the cliff, right? The coyote, and bang. And maybe it's going to be a big dump truck or a big bus is going to be a trap, and that the coyote is going to run over with this bus. Of course, you know who ends up being run over with the bus is the coyote. Bang, he's flat. And or maybe some gun trap or something, or shooting bullets. And so you see this Gatling gun go up, and bang, 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 and then there's the coyote, not the roadrunner. He's full of holes. And then he usually drink a glass of water, and then like a sprinkler head, all this water's coming out in every direction. But the amazing part, the dynamic part, and it was in a lot of cartoons, is like 30 seconds later, there's this guy with holes in him, and all the holes have disappeared. And now he's just walking around, you know? He's like doing other stuff, you know? But for a second there, you know, a big dump truck runs over him, he's flat. He's as thin as a piece of paper. He's like this. The next thing, boing, and he blows up like a balloon. Next thing you know, he's back to life, and he's up to his old antics. But you know something? It's a picture of what happens to a really good person. If you're really good at living up to God's expectations, that's what happens to you. You get some serious injury that puts you, you know, in a grave, you just get up and walk away. How can we inherit eternal life? Who qualifies? Good people. People who are good enough to listen to God's. Which brings us to the second answer. Who qualifies for eternal life? No one. You see, no one is good at listening to God. Jesus breaks into the conversation. The man says, "Good teacher, how can I inherit eternal life?" He said, "Why do you call me good?" You see, the man's always got, he's already got some problems that need to be broke down. He needs to realize that there are no truly good people, at least not thoroughly good enough to qualify for life everlasting. And when Jesus said this statement here in verse 19, no one's good, some scholars say there were 250 million people on the earth at the time, populating the earth. 250 million people. You would think there would be one person that Jesus could say, "Oh, almost everybody's disqualified except for one or two or three." No, nobody's good. 250 million. And you know something? The same words that Jesus spoke in the first century apply today. Now there's 6.5 billion people. And yet the Bible still makes the same proclamation. No one is good. Nobody is qualified to live forever. That's why you all are dying. It's just a matter of where you are in line. It's like a line of dominoes, you know, ever since the first man fell into sin. Every generation after and every person born after, down, 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 down. We're in line. We just don't know where we are. No one is qualified to live forever. And there have been some pretty good people. I mean, if you go online or you dig out a book in the top 100 people in the world or the top most famous people or the most influential, whatever the category is, these significant people throughout time. One list, I think it was Life Magazine, they put Lincoln there, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther, his contributions, Clara Barton, Mother Teresa, Bach, Michelangelo, Florence Nightingale, not to mention biblical figures we could throw in as Christians. Moses is a pretty good guy. David, a man after God's own heart, had a few problems though. St. Peter, St. Paul, and then you have all these organizations, people doing some great work. Rotary Club, Knights of Columbus, you name it, Lions Club. They're trying to help put money for help Alzheimer's or cancer research. And many of you people know that's not some theoretical thing. You have people in your own family whose brain's deteriorating. You know, they have dementia or something that's eating away at their mind, and you have this horrible situation that you're trying to manage and help them through, and you have to have 24-hour monitoring. And how many families are being struck with cancer right in our own midst here? It's real, and what's happening is a good thing. Give your money toward those causes. We want cures, and a lot of good people are helping in these areas, and yet Jesus still says these words, no one is good. And what he means is no one's good enough. No one's good enough to be qualified to keep on living. Same is true and has been true in every generation. St. Paul confirms Jesus' words in Romans 3. In the New Testament, no one's good, not one. It's really quoted in the Old Testament. The Old Testament period was the same. No one's good. It's a psalm that was quoted by St. Paul. And now Jesus says the same words, no one is good. You know, some of my children have entered contests like yours. Different contests come up. And, you know, whether it's an art contest or a music contest, and I noticed one thing in the process as we would, you know, send an entry in, maybe it's a piece of artwork or some music that had been composed or performed, and I noticed that a lot of these committees or judges, they'll have a little disclaimer, a little thing at the bottom of the application, and it'll say something like this. This is, for example, an Avon contest in the United Kingdom. We didn't sign up for that Avon test. But it's typical of the posture of these judging committees. The judges, Avon, reserve the right to withhold any award if the entries are of insufficient quality in any given period. And we reserve the right to carry any unawarded funds over to the next year, next award cycle, if there are no suitable applications. Unsuitable applications, insufficient quality of applications, a lot of people applying, a lot of people want the awards, and yet the judges reserve the right to withhold the award. You see, folks, God withholds the right to give the award. He reserves the right. And He's looking out over you and He's saying, you're not doing so good. You might be applying, you might be wanting, you might be trying to live forever. I don't know what your mechanisms you're using. And I think everyone has a desire. Nobody likes to die. And you might be trying everything you can to hang on. But you know what? He says, you're disqualified. I've seen your application. Might be a little better in some other applications, but it's not really going to do the job. Which brings us to the third answer. Who qualifies for eternal life? Good people, which is no one. And thirdly, which is God only. God. God alone qualifies. Isn't that what Jesus tells the man right out of the gate when he asks the question? Good teacher, who qualifies for eternal life? He says, there's none good, only God alone. God is alone worthy to live and to keep on living. Remember the prayer we used to pray growing up, many of you? God is great, God is good, right? Let us thank Him for this food. By His hands we are fed, give us, Lord, our daily bread. And God is good. And you read the Westminster Confession, and it tells you that God is always good. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable. Then it gives a list of all these attributes. Infinite, eternal, and changeable. And His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. So in His goodness, He's infinitely good. He's eternally good, and He's unchangeable when it comes to goodness. God has a bad habit. You know what it is? He has a habit. A habit He can't break. And that is, He's always good. And He can't help Himself. You understand what I'm saying? He's got this hang-up that everything He does always is the right thing. That's why He alone is qualified to keep on living. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternal, one God, three persons. And, you know, I've often said, reminded you that there are certain things that God can't do. Certain things that God can't do. You remember the old question you're asked in high school usually about that time, or college, someone say, can God make a rock so big that He can't lift it? First time I heard that, man, ooh, that one hurts. What do I think of? How do I say anything to that? Can God make a rock so big that He can't lift it? The answer is no. God cannot do or make anything greater than Himself. But you know what? He can make everything greater than anybody else. You understand? He's as big as they get. He's as strong as they get. He's as wise as they get. And God is more powerful. And that's the way He will always be. Certain things God can't do. God can't lie. Numbers 21, verse, or 23, verse 19. God is not a man, it says, that He should lie. God cannot sin. In James 1:13, it tells us that God can't tempt people and he can't be tempted. Therefore, he can't sin. That's just the way he is. And that's why he continues to deserve to live. He doesn't steal. He can't steal. He can't cheat. He can't deceive people. He keeps all of his promises, as 1 James 8 says. God can't be anything else but always good. And no matter what's going on in your life right now, maybe some things you're not too happy about, some things pressing in on you, whether it's relationship or in physical area, something happening, you can be sure whatever God's bringing your way, it's good and it's good for you. Now, the other people, who are the instruments? Well, instruments of harm and evil and all that, well, you can't really worry about them. God will take care of that too. I know a lot of people try to inflict harm, but God works everything for good for those who look to Him in love. God cannot be anything else but good. And which leads us to the fourth point and leads us back to the rich ruler. The rich ruler is asked the question, who qualifies for eternal life? And Jesus tells them, good people. Then he says, well, no one's really good. And he says, God alone qualifies. And then the next thing he's going to be telling the man is that, but you know what? You yourself can qualify. But you're going to have to make some changes here. And he's got a couple of lessons this guy's got to learn. First of all, the ruler's got to learn that he's not good enough. Remember, he says, I kept the commands ever since I was a youth. Folks, if you've got that understanding that you're pretty good at keeping the commandments, you better get that thought fixed in your mind. And so Jesus is going to cause this guy to examine himself. And then he's going to examine himself and he's going to cause him to make a choice. That is this guy going to hang on to something he loves that doesn't please God? Or is he really going to follow Christ, who will lead him into eternal life? So the man really needs to learn a couple lessons. He needs to learn that he's not good enough to qualify for eternal life and that he needs to put Christ first. And if he's willing to do that, then the man is indeed going to be qualified to live forever. We see Jesus interacting with the guy as he says, let's see if I can put my finger on the verse. After the man says in verse 21, all these I've kept, these commands, and Jesus heard this, he says, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Now, Jesus puts his finger on a man's problem. If you feel like you're qualified to live forever, Jesus could quite easily begin to poke around in your life. You might have trouble with, really might have trouble with sexual immorality. You might really have a trouble with stealing. He might remind you of some lying that you're struggling with. He may remind you of how that you're too attached to money, that you love money more than God. And whatever it is, you see, he can poke around and put his finger on it and start pressing that issue. And then he's going to cause you to decide, what do you want? Do you really want eternal life? Do you really want it? Then he's going to say, I tell you what, if you'll follow me into eternal life, if you'll follow me, I'll take you into eternal life. But you know what? You've got to give up that other thing. That thing I got my finger on, that I'm pressing on. In this case, it was the man's money. The man had to choose. Did he want a big stack of money? Which he had. Say it's $25 million. I don't know what he had. But he had a lot. It says he's very rich. So imagine you got a stack of money, $25 million. It's yours. You could hit the lottery. I'll give you the number right now. Or you can have life everlasting. A better life in this world and the best life in the world to come. Better life meaning quality. You can have that. A better life where you're happier, more peace, and just feel better about yourself and know you're going to live forever, or you can have this big pile of money for, we'll say, another 40 years or something, 50 years. What did the man do? He walks away sad, doesn't he? Because, you see, his heart was still stuck on the money. It was more important to him, and he had this opportunity to be led into eternal life. In verse 22, he says, he tests the man, sell everything you have, give it to the poor. It doesn't mean that this man is going to buy his way into heaven. It doesn't mean that helping the poor is going to win anything for you. But what it means is that you're willing to put Christ first and everything else second. And when you're willing to do that, to put Christ first and follow Him, then you're ready to be led to eternal life. Well, I don't know where you are, folks, but when I asked my brother that question, his first answer was, as he was not far from death, and I asked him, do you know for certain you're going to go to heaven? He says, how can anybody know that? I ask you the same question. If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? You can know. And in this text, we see the person who will lead you there. You see, who qualifies for heaven? Good people. Which means no one. You're disqualified. You understand it? If you think you're still qualified, you still need to learn something. But you're disqualified. God alone is qualified. And God, who is only good and can only be good, He wants to give you eternal life. If you're willing to let go of everything and follow Jesus Christ. If Jesus said, I want you to sell your house, would you do it for eternal life? If Jesus says, I want you to change jobs, follow me, will you do it? If you're in a position where you're ready to, you're hoping that He doesn't ask you to give up all your money, you're hoping that He doesn't ask you to go onto the mission field maybe, you're hoping that He doesn't ask you anything too hard. But if He does ask you, you've got to let go of this. Would you do it? Because if you're ready to let go of anything, then you're ready for eternal life, which God freely gives you through the person and work of Jesus Christ. I want you to test your heart as we close. Do you have this kind of spirit? Because this kind of spirit in this old-fashioned hymn written 85 years ago tells the kind of heart and attitude that is on its way to eternal life. The writer put it this way when it came to his choosing. He said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand. And then to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And the final verse says, He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead. St. Paul says, I consider everything a loss compared to the privilege of knowing Jesus Christ, who will lead you, if you will follow, He will lead you into eternal life. The only question is, will you let go? Will you let go of everything else and follow Him? It's the only way to find life everlasting. Lord, we bow before You. Oh Lord, we thank You for this word. We pray that it would get deeply into our hearts and minds, that indeed each of us may be led not to disappointment, but to life everlasting through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's respond to this wonderful passage from St. Luke as we sing from the overhead the words we've already begun to reflect on. Please stand.